Welcome back in, everybody. Happy Tuesday. It's a Steen on Sports Tuesday. My partner in crime, Scott, is on a work trip to Chicago. Be back on Thursday. We'll get some happy hour sports with Steen and Scott coming up then. You are listening to Steen on Sports on 101.3 FM, 1700 The Champ AM, Real Sports Talk for real sports fans. Check us out on Twitter, at Steen on Sports, at 1700 The Champ. Facebook's at 1700 The Champ. Website, 1700thechamp.com. All of the podcasts are up. You can check it out on Audio Boom or wherever you get your podcasts. Hawkeye Huddle is on tonight after the show. I have a feeling that they have a lot to talk about. We will talk about some of that here in just a few minutes as well. What else do we have this week? Tomorrow night you have Twins Royals, Thursday Chiefs Chargers. Doesn't get any bigger than that. Supremacy in that conference to get to 2-0. You're going to be in a good spot for the time being. On Friday, you're going to get Twins Guardians. Saturday, you're going to get UNI Sacramento. Sunday, Dolphins, Ravens, Bengals, Cowboys, Bears, Packers, and Monday Night Football, Titans, Bills, Vikings, Eagles. So there you go. Thursday night, that's an Amazon Prime game. So going to be really interesting what people think about some of the different places that you can go grab games. It's always going to be interesting when things start to change and the way that we consume sports are going to change here very quickly. Before we get started, I want to thank my sponsors, Northwest Bank, Palmer Group, Des Moines Orthopedic, Heritage Building Maintenance, Woodman Controls, and Iowa Cubs. Couldn't do this without them. B Styles coming in today on Tuesday. We're gonna recap last week, do a little bit of look forward, and then he'll be back in again on Thursday instead of Friday because I'm off on Friday for a charity golf event. I have a charity golf event this Friday and a charity golf event next Friday. Anytime people ask you and to try to go do that, it's hard to say no. I mean, you want to help as many people as we possibly can. So I don't know where to get started. There's a lot of Iowa Hawkeye news. I'm going to start with last night's football game first. Just some overall observations of Seattle and Denver. I understand what it is to be a fan. Excuse me. I am a totally different fan now than I was 20 years ago. And the majority of my friends that I watch games with would absolutely agree because I was loud, obnoxious, yelling and screaming because I didn't know any better. And listen, folks, you grow up in life. You know, it happens. It probably even more than 20 years ago. It was more for when I was in my early 20s, mid-20s, before I had kids. I had my first kid when I was 30. That started to change It started to change the way I look at things. And then once you have your kids grow through the school system and play sports and you hear other people yelling at your kid, now you know what all the rest of the people felt like when you were yelling at their kids. So I look at it a different way. Last night in that football game, when Russell Wilson first came out to warm up and practice, I mean, the Seattle Seahawks fans gave him a lot of boos. Okay, I get it. You know, he's not on their team anymore. It wasn't what he wanted. And the great thing about professional football, if you're a player, there are times that either the coach or yourself or the general manager or the president or the owner can change situations. He was not happy. I don't think him and Pete Carroll were seen eye to eye. I don't think that he liked the fact in a few of those years that they were spending all that money on defense, but nothing on offensive linemen and weapons. and it got him nicked up a little bit. There's no love lost there. I think you saw that last night. They were pretty tough on Russell Wilson last night. I was kind of surprised. I was thinking of it more on, you know, Peyton Manning going back to Indianapolis or you know, just Joe Montana going back to San Francisco. There's been a lot of them, and I'm sure they were booed. The Seattle Seahawks, and I understand that, and one of my best friends I saw him the other day helping me with a couple of things at work, Mr. Jim Fetters, huge Seattle Seahawk fan, huge Russell Wilson fan. I think a huge Pete Carroll fan as well. The Legion of Boom was fun. The 12th man, the fans, was fun. They won games because of Russell Wilson. And so he goes to Denver. So, you know, I think that was my first thought process last night when I was watching the game. And then, you know, this was the one of the key things in the offseason that I'm like, you cannot have an old style defensive coordinator, Vic Fangio, to be your head coach in the 2020s. And Pete Carroll won one game last night. The Denver Broncos almost doubled their yardage. A couple of turnovers in the red zone derailed them. They still had chances to win. And even though the field goal, I think, was a horrible idea, we'll talk about that in a second, it still was closer of making that and winning that game. And I think Seattle got off lucky. And, you know, that's just the way it is. In my mind, I thought they did the right job. I mean, you took somebody. Now here's the problem that you have with offensive coordinators. And I'm not saying this, I would have never said this before last night. And then after watching Nathaniel Hackett, now you have to say this. You have to take a look. If you are looking, and I have no idea in the world why Eric Bieniemy hasn't gotten an NFL job, to see if he can succeed or fail. I think the biggest reason that he has not is that everybody thinks it's Andy Reid and has nothing to do with Eric Bieniemy, which I do not think is true. Nathaniel Hackett came from Green Bay. He was Green Bay's offensive coordinator. Now, was that Nathaniel Hackett drawing up plays or Aaron Rodgers drawing up plays in the grass on the football field and making decisions? I think grading new head coaches, Nathaniel Hackett graded as a way better offensive coordinator than he was a head coach last night. He made quite a few miscues, just, you know, little ones at the beginning of the game. You know, there's a lot of coaches out there in the NFL and college that think timeouts are a waste of time and I'm just going to take them whenever I want them. I'm not saving them. I don't care. I don't need it. The way the clock is and the way we hand signal in, timeouts are bleh. Timeouts, they had three timeouts, and we'll kind of dive into that here in just a second as well. I thought play calling was mismatched last night. They had four or five drives that you're like, oh my gosh, what were they thinking? Some bonus points for the Seattle Seahawks. Geno Smith played really well. If the Denver Broncos take care of the ball, that's an 18-point win for the Broncos. So all the people that are hip hip hooraying for the Seattle Seahawks, your season's not going to be as easy as what you think it is, or you might think it is. So let's get to the latter part of the game, which is most of the turmoil that's out there today. The Broncos snapped the ball after the 2-minute warning on 3rd and 2 with 3 timeouts left. They got the first, and Williams didn't go out, didn't use any timeouts, took 30 seconds to get their first down snap off. During the 2-minute warning, they should have had 2 plays called in the huddle. It was a mess all the way through. Then you have the decision. You're paying Russell Wilson a lot of money. Over $40 million a year with incentive. Who knows? I mean, it could be way more than that. And you're a, And you ran a play that made it look like this is what you were going to do. You ran a play knowing that, okay, we're going to do this. We have a timeout. We're going to run the ball. We're going to get it. We're going to get closer to this. So they got it to 4th and 5, and he lets the clock run, and he decides he's going to kick a field goal. A 64-yard field goal. There's not very many. I mean, in the course of the NFL, I bet there hasn't been 50 kicks from over 60 yards. And I would assume that the correlation between makes and misses is probably 90-10 missing. But that was your plan. Not the $40 million quarterback that's made a career and a lifetime of getting that down and getting you closer with timeouts. You know, this isn't, I don't have any timeouts. If we miss, what do you do? I have no understanding whatsoever what he was doing. None. Zero. And it is beyond me how you can let something like that happen. And it's something as important as Russell Wilson going back to Seattle. You did not give the Denver Broncos the best chance to win because you took the ball out of his hands into a kicker in a situation that you don't make. It's 95% you're not making it. It probably was 99% you're not making that. So Nathaniel Hackett had a rough start. For all the people praising Geno Smith and all the people praising Pete Carroll, listen. First game of the season, there's no film. I mean, there's film on Geno Smith, but they could have made adjustments and all that. Now there's going to be film on Geno Smith. There's going to be film on what they do. That's why the first week, everybody in the NFL says the first week, 90% of the time, these games are just trying to get you in the right frame of mind and stuff. And then things start happening in week 2 because now everybody has film. And now you have to figure out what you can do when someone has film and can see tendencies and can see things that you do. And they can see personnel coming in, and they have people, that's all they do. They sit there and watch and decipher everything that happens. Do I think Seattle Seahawks are going to win a division, going to be over 500? Absolutely not. Not if Geno Smith is their quarterback. It's just not going to happen. Do I think the Denver Broncos are going to be over 500? I do, except for they're in a tough division. They're in a tough conference. There's a lot of good teams. And now you don't know how good a head coach you have. He's put doubt in the fans, he's put doubt in ownership, and he's at the worst, he's put doubt in his relationship with some of the players. You can't have Russell Wilson and $40 million standing on the sideline at a 4th and 5. It wasn't a 4th and 17, and it was a 35-yard field goal. It was a 64-yard field goal, 4th and 5, with timeouts. It's almost inexcusable. And the other part of that, and it doesn't probably happen as much as what you hope it would, because I don't think it happens to Bill Belichick. I don't think it probably doesn't happen to Pete Carroll. You don't have somebody on the sideline that looks at him and goes, are you kidding me? What are you thinking? No, call a timeout. Let's talk about this. The 30 seconds that they let go before they called that timeout was inexcusable. I nobody watching that game, listening to that game, or reading about that game would understand what in the world they were doing. Congratulations to Seattle. That was a good win. In some of the second segments, we're going to go through some of the good things, some of the bad things, some of the good teams, some of the bad teams. We'll go through some of the NFL games. But I thought that needed to be discussed a little bit. The second one, there's two, and maybe I'll start this next segment out, and we'll do a little bit of talk. Before we dive into the football, we'll do a little bit of talking into, you get coaches talk today from Kirk Ferentz, Matt Campbell. I didn't read everything that Matt Campbell had. I'm assuming somebody, I mean, somebody probably was brave enough, dumb enough to ask about the Nebraska question. He probably had nothing to say about it. Once again, if I have egg on my face, I have egg on my face. The only reason that you would go to Nebraska would be because they're signing a big contract and maybe they're paying you so much money that you can't say no. That's not Matt Campbell. If I have egg on my face, I'll come in here and I will tell you. But I mean, that's the sole reason I'm saying no. Because the only thing it can be about is money. And I don't think he's about money. So we'll talk a little bit about that, talk a little bit what he said about the game coming up. Baylor game got announced. It's an 11 o'clock game. So first game out of the chute for the Big 12. It's going to be a great game. I listened to Dave Aranda the other day. He did an interview. I can't remember if it was Colin Cowherd. I think it was Colin Cowherd. Dude's amazing. I just want to sit and talk to him. He's the smart Mike Leach. You want to listen to Mike Leach because you want to hear Mike Leach stories. I want to hear this guy talk about how he looks at life and football and all that. And the other side of that is with the Iowa Hawkeyes and what Kirk Ferentz said today. And Kirk Ferentz even upset my guy, David Eicholt, who I'm going to have on. He comes on tomorrow, first thing. You listen to Steen on Sports, bringing sports your way every day right here on 101.3 FM, 1700 The Champ AM. Be right back.
Here's a look at traffic on 1700 The Champ. Real sports talk for real sports fans.
Welcome back in, everybody. Once again, happy Tuesday. It's just a Steen on Sports Tuesday. My partner Scott is on a business trip. Welcome in. You're listening to us live on 101.3 FM, 1700 The Champ AM, Real Sports Talk for real sports fans. Giving you your sports your way every day. This segment is going to be brought to you by Northwest Bank. Two locations in Ankeny, one in West Des Moines. A new branch up in Ames, three locations in Omaha, and many, many more. They're taking care of your personal, business, mortgage, agriculture, wealth management, private banking, anything that you need in the banking world, they are going to take care of you. Go in, tell them Steen sent you, open up an account, and see what they can do for you. The commitment, it's commitment that you can count on. That commitment is to take the things that you are looking for, get you in the best position that they can, and that is what they're trying to do. That's the commitment. The commitment is to make this, you're not thinking about your bank every day. It's not, you don't wake up going, wow, I wonder what I can do. They're going to be out in front of that, and it's a great thing to have. It's a great bank, great people, and they'll take care of you. Northwest Bank, member FDIC. Okay, so just jotted down a few things here. Kirk Ferentz had a press conference today. Kirk Ferentz is going to know that the majority of the questions that are going to come out today in this type of environment, it was a rough game. You have a quarterback that's been there for a while, not performing. Don't know if it's, I don't trust my backup. I don't know what I'm getting with my backup. We've tried that before, all those things. So let's take the good first. Number one, Iowa is a great program. It's been a great program. I understand that. The great and the bad thing about college football is not what it was like when I was growing up, where you had powerhouses and you rooted for your team and you just expected great things if you liked a Notre Dame or a USC or an Oklahoma or somebody like that. You know, now they're with name, image, and likeness and all this stuff, the whole landscape of college football, college sports, the whole landscape is changing. And you have somebody that has been the head coach at the University of Iowa going on 23 years. He's 179 and 111. He makes $7 million a year. and he has a press conference. And, you know, when things are good and things are rolling, and trust me, he's a Bill Belichick disciple. He understands. You know, when you're winning and you're 10 games and you're bowl gaming and you're winning bowl games and you're doing all that, you know, you can say some of the stuff that coaches say at press conferences. You know, we're not really going to talk about that. That's, you know. In his last 10 games, the quarterback for the Iowa Hawkeyes has one touchdown pass and 9 interceptions. The fact that they're winning in spite of their quarterback play. Understand that. You can win that way. I don't think you can get to where you want to go that way. You compound that, and I'm not saying if it was something that people didn't want to happen, Brian Ferentz would not be the coach. If the University of Iowa thought, you know what, having your son as the offensive coordinator, man, I don't know if that's a good, no, nobody said that to him. Nobody's going to say that to him. And he deserves that kind of recognition, and he deserves to have that. But he has to be able to go out and explain it. You can't just say, hey, I'm the head coach, and this is what I'm doing. This is different. This isn't Brian Anderson, the offensive coordinator that everybody loves because he's joyful and all that. No, this is Brian Ferentz. Your son is the offensive coordinator, and the offense is not performing well. You're not standing out there blowing up the offense, that it's not covering up for the defense, that you're wasting one of the best defensive runs that you've had in 4 or 5 years. When asked about it today, I'm not on the question of the quarterback decision. I'm not asking anybody to agree with me, because I think that was one of the ways it was asked today. What's the team think? What's the rest of the coaching staff think? What is the offensive meetings like with you and the coaches trying to figure out what can make this better? Didn't want to talk about it. What are the things that you're looking at? Maybe do you go to Alexpedia? Not something I'm going to talk about. And he finally, I think after enough, just said, look, I'm not asking anybody to agree with me. This is what I'm doing. I'm the head coach. I understand that. He's the head coach. And I get that. And I don't know what you do when you're looking at it that way. He's not putting, and once again, I want to say this, because everybody, if you're listening to this, you're going, well, you're a Cyclone fan. Okay, that's malarkey. And if you knew me well enough, yes, I'm a Cyclone fan. I had 3 kids that went there. I have one getting ready to graduate. 2 others have already graduated. That is my first choice. The Hawkeyes aren't my 192nd choice. May not be my second choice. Notre Dame is, but look where I'm going with that. So don't tell me that I'm saying this because I'm a Hawkeye fan. It's his third year. It's his third year that he's playing in the backfield, and you've won games. Seriously, read the headlines. Tell me the headline that said Spencer won you a football game. I've seen the headline that says the punter won you a football game, Mr. Taylor. I've seen the headlines that say, man, this defense can take us a long ways and can carry us. I've seen the running game works really well. Boy, it's nice to have Tyler Linderbaum. Man, isn't that great? Whoa, look at these 2 tight ends. I got 2 more tight ends that are going to be NFL draft picks. I've seen all of it. I've seen it. I've seen you talk about it, but you won't talk about him. You're putting him, Brian Ferentz is putting him in an almost no-win situation. You're a 25-point favorite going into this game this weekend, and the over-under is 40. that means they think you're a 20-point favorite because your defense isn't going to allow anything, and they'll probably score a couple of times. You've had one touchdown on a block punt that got you the ball, and you ran the ball three times. You have to answer questions about this. You can't say, I'm the football coach. I've been here a long time. I'm Kirk Ferentz, and this is in us. Okay? Let me take it one further. You're a state employee making $7 million a year where people go up and pay a lot of money to watch the Iowa football program. Answer the questions. Matt Campbell doesn't like answering questions that he doesn't like. And he may chastise you after he answers them. I would take that. Get angry and say, bang your hand on the thing and say, listen, we are going to win with Spencer. We are turning a corner. We do anything. Just talk about it. Because it's getting to a point, and when you make David Eicholt post something on here, you know he doesn't do this. This young man has more integrity than probably anybody that I know. My biggest takeaway, it's a major problem when the head coach can't publicly justify why he's starting a quarterback repeatedly that has one touchdown in 10 games without saying, I'm the head coach and it's my decision. We know the buck stops here. That isn't the question that we want to know. We know that. That's the one thing about Kirk Ferentz. You know that. He's not going to throw anybody under the bus. This is not throwing somebody under the bus. This is giving explanations to people that pay a lot of money, and you get paid a lot of money, to explain what your thought process is. What's Alex Padilla doing in practice that doesn't give him the opportunity? Do you have somebody past that guy? What are you looking for next year? Has it changed the way that you might want to run your offense? Is Brian and you on the same page with all your offensive calls? Any of that. So stay away from the quarterback. I'm fine with that. Let's talk about Brian Ferentz, and let's talk about you, and let's get it out in the open and let people see that. And if they see it, maybe they'll leave you alone. They're probably not going to, because that's what they get paid to do. But they're also the people that give you rosy stuff when you're doing great things, which you've done almost your entire coaching career. This one hurts because it's twofold. It's a young quarterback that shouldn't have to be taking any of this. And I want you to be covering for him, but you can't cover for him and say, I'm doing it because I'm the coach. And you're covering for your son, who's the offensive coordinator. We'll talk about this with David Eicholt tomorrow, first thing. Last thing I'm going to say about it. It's a big game. You need good things to happen on Saturday before you start Big Ten play. Because you have Big Ten teams that they're playing people that aren't very good either, and they are blowing them out of the water. It's a difficult thing. And I understand I'm looking. And if you look at it, and I look through it, my eyes, with my Iowa State, it's the team that I root for first. That's all I'll say about Iowa State. Matt Campbell's probably not going to answer questions about Nebraska. My hope is he's not answering questions about Nebraska, because it's the most foolish thing that I've ever heard in my life. And I wouldn't want to answer them either. That's a slap in the face to Jamie Pollard. It's a slap in the face to the football program. And it's a slap in the face to us fans that you think he's going to go to a school that hasn't been relevant for 10 years and have fired five coaches and just paid a coach $15 million when the season's already lost. You could have played three more games and only paid him $7.5 million. You don't go to a dysfunctional school like that from places in the Big 12 or the Big 10 or the SEC or the ACC or the Pac. You don't go to places like that. That's getting some assistant young coach that has an offensive mind that can come in and maybe change kids' lives. That coach happened to be a coach that won games outside of Nebraska, and he came to Nebraska because he was a favored son in Nebraska and they thought it would work. And it didn't. I'm way more irritated about having to listen to Nebraska stuff with Iowa State than anything to do with Kirk Ferentz and Spencer Petras. And I don't think Spencer has to listen. It is what it is. If you looked at the game tape, I have not. I'm assuming that on a lot of those throws that he had pressure, blocking wasn't the greatest. You didn't run the ball very well. There wasn't a lot of woo-hoo surprise stuff. The thing that worries me about Spencer is on plays on third down with open guys, he threw over their head. If I was counting correctly, 5-6 times, that would have been first downs, and you would have kept the chains moving, and it would change the game. And you don't let Iowa State have the ball for a whole quarter and score a touchdown. I'm not worried about any of the rest of it. That's what I would be on an out, a quick out on 4 or 5 of those plays. The ball was 2 feet behind, 2 feet in front, or 2 feet over somebody's head with not pressure in his face. That's a concern. It's no bigger concern than that. If I was talking to Matt Campbell, I'd say, Matt, you know what, Hunter, it looks like he is getting control of the offense and understands that, but every once in a while, he makes that one throw. That one throw against Simu, who the guy picked off and ran in for the touchdown. It was that one throw. Instead, take that ball down, try to get as many yards as you can on the run, or throw that thing up into the first row. And he had a couple against Iowa State. But it wasn't like the offense also, you have an offensive line that happens to be playing really well, and you're close to the end zone and you're jumping. You know, I think that's a thing of the past because, man, people are really good about knocking the ball out. He got the ball knocked out by his own guy who was blocking. It was a freak thing. And then the tip pick, okay. But you won the football game. That's the difference. Iowa State won the football game. Iowa didn't. So the questions when you go to press conferences are totally different. Kirk Ferentz has been amazing keeping the press on his side. Fran McCaffrey would love to have the press on his side all the time. And the goodwill is waning. And probably waning for a good reason. And maybe I'm off base saying he's a state employee who makes $7 million a year. Step up and answer questions about your football team. I don't know. Maybe I'm wrong. You're listening to Scene on Sports, bringing sports your way every day, right here on 101.3 FM, 1700 The Champ AM, Real Sports Talk for real sports fans. I'll be back right after this break.
Steen on Sports at 1700thechamp.com. Real sports talk for real sports fans.
Welcome back in, everybody, once again. Happy Tuesday. Last segment of the first hour already. Crazy talk. You are listening to Steen on Sports today. My partner in crime is on a business trip, so he is not in here today. He will be back on... Wow, my computer is acting crazy today. He's going to be back on Thursday, so we'll have that going on. We're going to update and shut down for a second. Okay, so it is just Steen on Sports, but it'll be Happy Hour Sports with Steen and Scott on Thursday. Big day on Thursday, too. B-Styles coming in. A couple other people tomorrow. David Eicholt, Zach Steenblock, Matt Nelson. B-Styles coming in twice. He's coming in Thursday and on Tuesday. And I have a couple, the next two Fridays, I have two golf events, so for charity. So kind of looking forward to that. You can check us out on Steen on Sports, at Steen on Sports, and at 1700 The Champ at Twitter. Facebook's at 1700 The Champ, and the website 1700champ.com. Podcasts are up there. Had some good podcasts. Get that one on Thursday with John Schaefer. It was fun. I listened to it again. It was a really good time. We had a blast. Hawkeye Huddle coming up tonight after the show. Then you're going to get into Twins and Royals game. What else do we have? I have to do a... We'll do Heritage Building Maintenance. Founded in 2011, they provide quality, health-centric building maintenance. They believe the cleaning industry should provide the first line of defense in proper health care, always looking for the right process to provide the highest quality, safest, and most healthy environment for your work environment. They are certified partners in science-proven microbial control, the state-of-the-art protection to keep their environment safer and more healthy for all involved. Heritage Building Maintenance, thank you for being a part of the program. Okay, what else do I have? I think I'm good from there. I just had a few things. I don't know if you saw on Saturday or Sunday, excuse me, Sunday. Harrison Butker getting ready to kick off, twisted his ankle. And Andy Reid came out today and said that the Arizona Cardinals stadium, and it was, they had some rain and it was kind of sloppy. He said it was horrible, said it was really bad. But they thought he'd be able to kick field goals, and he actually kicked a couple extra points and a field goal. But he couldn't kick off. I think he's free safety. I don't know if he's free safety, safety. I don't know the correct designation for Justin Reid. But he was kicking off. He kicked the ball into the end zone every single time. I think he hit one extra point and he missed an extra point. But he was booming kicks almost through the end zone, which was a pretty cool thing. Here is one thing too. So I kind of beat up on Nathaniel Hackett, not having the greatest of nights last night. And if you're, you know, to be fair, you know, you have to call out some other coaches too. Now this happened on the game when I'm watching the Pittsburgh Steelers and Cincinnati Bengal game. And it was a pass to Ja'Marr Chase right on the end zone line. The ball, I do not think the ball crossed the line. Nobody even, and this is where we're going to come into this. Nobody from the Cincinnati Bengals challenged. Nobody looked at it. Dan Ballandino, the rules official, came on and explained it as, any time that you have a wide receiver who catches the football and his feet or a part of his body is in the end zone, that is the same as the ball being in the end zone on a reception. And if Cincinnati would have known that rule, and we have known now that there are a lot of rules out there that teams don't know about, referees don't know about, the fake grounding of the ball to save time and then actually grounding the ball as a penalty, and the fact that happened and they end up losing the game, brought to Zach Taylor's, and he's like, you know, we have to have somebody that's their sole job. Okay, so I heard that today. So on the football team, they need somebody that actually understands all the rules of the National Football League. I'm thinking that's a really good idea. I mean, you're paying coaches $12 million a year. You'd think that you could have a really smart person. Heck, you could probably take one of their kids and he could read through and know what rules are. I mean, that cost the Cincinnati Bengals. I mean, that's a big game. You have a one game lead on the Pittsburgh Steelers. They don't have the quarterback you do. You had five turnovers in that game. It's a game you shouldn't even have been in, and you would have taken a win away. Wow. And it was at home. So you lost a home game because you didn't know a rule. Pretty crazy. This one, really, I'm going to do a coaching one first. And this is why that sometimes you can have a... you can have a talk about coaches and how they do things, and everybody does, right? that you can have these conversations. Every year, at the minimum every year almost, there's at least 1/4 of NFL coaches get fired on a yearly basis. So that means four. At least four. That would be that'd be 8. 32 teams. I was thinking one side. This year you had 8 new coaches. And they are Lovie Smith with the Texans. He tied the Colts this weekend. We have had to click a button there, sorry. We had Matt Eberflus, Chicago Bears. He turned the corner with Justin Fields, beat a San Francisco 49er team that seemed to be a really good team. Doug Peterson, Jacksonville Jaguars, they lost the game. They were in the game. They played well. They were in it till the end. Everybody looked like they knew what they were doing. It's such a far cry from what they had last year. It's still going to take time for Doug Peterson to give him 8 games. If at the end of the season, and I don't have their schedule in front of me, but at the end of the season, if they don't go 5-3 in those last 8 games, I'd be very surprised. Dennis Allen was the defensive coordinator at the Saints. He took over. Jameis Winston brought them back. It was a high-scoring game, so the defensive part of it didn't help at all, but still. Josh McDaniels lost. I still thought they played well. Davante Adams is going to be, it's going to be big. You know, that's going to take some time too. That was to be where they were in that whole situation last year to where they are now and where you're seeing them. I think is a pretty big deal. What else? Who else? I'm trying to hit some of these. And then Nathaniel Hackett, we already talked about him. Josh McDaniels, we just did. Todd Bowles, defensive coordinator. I don't think anybody has any idea. It's Tom Brady's team until Tom Brady loses. So that's 1, 2, 3, 4. I have 2 left. 5, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. I have 2 left. And I think these are the 2 that were the, actually there's 3. I have 3 left. And I think all 3 of them are great hires and are going to do great things. Let's start with Mike McDaniel. Tua, he understood what he had. He still used the offensive scheme and that to work his way around. I thought that was unbelievably good. Brian Daboll, if you saw him, he did things that you don't expect out of first-year head coaches. He had a quarterback, Daniel Jones, who should know better, made a bad pass, went over, barked, taught, helped go through the process, hugged, and left, and they come back and win a game. That's what you want. That's what you want from your coach. And the last one, Kevin O'Connell. For all my Minnesota Vikings fans out there, all my friends, I'm in. I did not like Mike Zimmer. I thought he was bad for the football team. His personality, his aura, his everything. He was a grumpy old curmudgeon. Now you have this vibrant. Now, does that mean that the Vikings are going to win the Super Bowl? I have no idea, but they have a lot of talent. And he seemed to get a lot of that talent out of a lot of different people that weren't performing at that level last year. I think that's a great hire. I think he's going to do great things. You have to have somebody that has that ability to lead. And I think he has that. So that's going to be pretty exciting. We got a bunch more stuff to talk about. NFL, college. There's some owners that aren't doing very well. Gazelle breaks silence on Tom Brady's unretirement. Who knew? You are listening to Steen on Sports, bringing sports your way every day right here on 101.3 FM, 1700 The Champ AM. Real sports talk for real sports fans. Gazelle and Brady, right?
Here's a look at traffic on 101.3 and 1700.